System-wide reform. Cultural and social diversity. Culturally and linguistically diverse people. In Western Australia, people from CALD backgrounds can be underrepresented in mental health, alcohol and other drug services due to barriers of language, lack of awareness of services, and factors such as fear of stigmatisation. People from CALD backgrounds may also have experienced a range of stressors, including trauma and discrimination. The expansion of Transcultural Specialised Statewide Services, see page 80, is one component of the service system. All mental health, alcohol and other drug services need to be competent at providing culturally competent services that also respect an individual's spiritual and religious beliefs. Cultural competence will be improved across the system through robust and consistent training and education programs, by advocating seamless and timely access to appropriately qualified interpreters, and by increasing the CALD workforce. Dedicated CALD programs and services will be developed across the service system as appropriate. Actions. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to incorporate culturally competent principles in the design of service models and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices. See page 81 for additional actions relating to services for CALD people. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to monitor the extent to which services have incorporated culturally competent principles in the design of service models and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex community. A greater proportion of people who identify as homosexual and or bisexual have experienced mental health problems compared to people who identify as heterosexual. For example, approximately 36% of transgender and approximately 24% of gay, lesbian and bisexual Australians met the criteria for experiencing a major depressive episode in 2005, compared with 6.8% of the general population. Pitts M. et al. 2006, Private Lives, a report on the well-being of GLBTI Australians, Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, La Trobe University, Melbourne. All services need to be able to provide services that are accessible and sensitive to the needs of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, LGBTI people. A dedicated service has been identified in the Specialised Statewide Services section, see page 78. This service will provide for people requiring support with their gender identity. It will also provide support, training, education and consultancy to mainstream services, as all mental health, alcohol and other drug services need to ensure they're sensitively meeting the needs of LGBTI people. System-wide reform. System integration and navigation. Models of service. A model of service broadly defines the preferred way services are to be delivered using international, national, and local evidence-based best practice principles. When implemented, models of service positively impact standardization, quality, organizational effectiveness, efficiency, and every individual's experience of services. Models of service will be centred on a personal recovery approach to service delivery in the mental health sector. Models of service outline what a particular service type could offer based on best practice, how the service could be configured, eligibility, length and frequency of treatment, roles and responsibilities of staff, consumers and carers. Where relevant, models of service also include expectations and standards regarding recovery-oriented, particularly for mental health service, trauma-informed care and practice, physical health assessment and treatment, requirements to support people with co-occurring problems, for example, mental health, alcohol and other drug use problems, disability, family-inclusive and, where appropriate, child-centred and or child-aware practice, non-discriminatory and destigmatisation service provision, culturally secure and or Aboriginal ways of working, culturally competent practice, service navigation, integration, referral pathways and transition, communication between and within services, quality and safety, reporting and evaluation. The Mental Health Commission will work with key partners, including consumers, families, carers, clinicians, primary care service providers and the Office of the Chief Psychiatrist to progress the development of standardised models of service for service streams including community support services, community treatment services, community bed-based services, hospital-based services, specific specialised statewide services and forensic services. Where relevant, mechanisms to monitor the implementation of models of service will be established. The models of service would be informed by and complement the standards currently under development by the Office of the Chief Psychiatrist as part of the implementation of the Mental Health Act 2014. System-wide reform. System integration. Mental health and alcohol and other drug problems more often than not occur together and with other health and/or social issues, for example, trauma, cognitive impairment, physical health problems, housing problems. It is essential that mental health, alcohol and other drug services work together across primary care, community and hospital-based services and across health and human service sectors in an integrated, coordinated way to improve consumer, family and carer service experience and outcomes. System integration ensures service delivery is comprehensive, cohesive, accessible, responsive and optimises the use of limited resources. An effective and integrated system is essential to ensure individuals do not fall through the gaps across the service continuum and when transitioning between services, and that each individual receives the appropriate level of care and support to meet their needs. Figure 6 shows the prevalence of mental health, alcohol and other drug problems subdivided into grades of severity and distress, labelled severe, moderate and mild. It is estimated that 17.2% of the population will experience mental illness and 2.7% of people will experience alcohol and other drug-related problems with different levels of severity and distress. Internal modelling based on the Western Australian Mental Health Service Planning Framework Estimator Tool 2015. Australian Government internal modelling based on the National DACCP model, Estimator Tool for Drug and Alcohol Treatment Clinical Resources for Australian Population, Sydney, New South Wales Ministry of Health, version 2.4.2, data extracted 13th of February 2014. Individuals with mild mental illness will usually, in an optimal system, receive treatment from primary care providers, for example, GPs. Those experiencing a moderate mental illness will receive treatment from enhanced primary care services and other private practitioners. These services include specialist interventions delivered by GPs, nurses and allied health professionals with additional training in mental health. In the optimal mix, individuals with a mild or moderate mental illness are not expected to need specialist community services or inpatient services. However, it is understood this is currently not the case. Individuals experiencing severe mental illness will require access to specialised community services, for example, community support, community treatment, and community beds and inpatient services. People with alcohol and other drug problems, mild, moderate, and severe, are predominantly seen in publicly funded services, with few seeking treatment privately or in the Commonwealth-funded primary care sector. For more information, refer to Appendix D. While there are some excellent examples of collaborative or integrated work occurring in the mental health, alcohol and other drug sectors, there's more often limited joint planning and communication between services. In developing an integrated system, it's important to recognise and build upon existing services and programs and identify where new services and programs may be required or where linkages to services and organisations need to be forged or strengthened. An integrated system requires new and effective ways of working together within and across traditional boundaries so that services are coordinated. Critical to the success of working in shared ways are making available nominated people that assist people to navigate the system of services, clarity about shared roles and responsibilities, clarity around accountability, clear and established decision-making processes and agreed conflict resolution mechanisms, minimising bureaucracy and avoiding duplication of administration, having compatible information technology and sharing information appropriately, resolving service gaps and policy issues at the earliest opportunity, flexibility around service outcomes, including shared outcomes and reporting arrangements. Recognition that staff involved in working in an integrated fashion need to understand how they fit within their own organisation and within the larger system. System-wide reform. Co-occurring mental health, alcohol and other drug problems. The level of co-occurrence of mental health, alcohol and other drug problems is such that some services would be more efficient and produce better consumer outcomes if services supported people with both conditions holistically. The amalgamation of the Mental Health Commission and the former Drug and Alcohol Office will assist collaboration, integration, planning, and the commissioning of services. Commissioning and service delivery will require collaborative and, where appropriate, integrated provision of treatment for mental health, alcohol, and other drug problems. This will involve a more consistent approach to collaboration, joint protocols, clearly defined treatment and support protocols, and care pathways. It may also involve workers who are specialised in co-occurring mental health, alcohol and other drug treatments, providing expert consultancy and support to mainstream services. It may also include the transfer of mental health workers into alcohol and other drug services, and vice versa. Additional training will further support staff from each sector to ensure competent delivery of services for people with co-occurring problems. Co-occurring mental health and intellectual or cognitive disability. According to a 2008 Western Australian population level data linkage study, intellectual disability co-occurring with schizophrenia and other psychiatric illness, population-based study, Vera A. Morgan, Helen Leonard, Jenny Burke, Asan Jablensky, The British Journal of Psychiatry, October 2008, 193/5-364-372, DOI. 31.7% of people with an intellectual disability have a mental health problem, and 1.8% of people with a mental health problem have an intellectual disability. These figures are thought to be an underestimate, and prevalence varies between studies. Generally, staff are trained in one area and or the other, i.e. mental health or disability, not both, which can lead to a lack of coordinated and integrated care for people with co-occurring mental health problems, an intellectual and or cognitive disability. Additional training, consultancy across sectors, and where appropriate, the transfer of workers will be explored with the disability services sector to ensure people receive seamless treatment and care. Improving the physical health of people with mental health, alcohol and other drug problems. The poor physical health status of many people with mental illness is a concern shared across Australian jurisdictions. People with alcohol and other drug problems also experience poorer health outcomes than the general population. For example, hepatitis C is a blood-borne virus, and approximately 90% of newly acquired hepatitis C infections and 80% of prevalent cases in Australia are a result of unsafe injecting use practices. Department of Health 2014, 4th National Hepatitis C Strategy, 2014-2017, Commonwealth of Australia, 2014. Alarmingly, 70% of people with a serious mental illness die from cardiovascular disease, compared with 18% of the general population, and approximately 60% of people with a serious mental illness smoke, compared to 17% of the general population. Department of Public Health and Department of Psychiatry and Behavioural Science, Duty to Care, Physical Illness in People with Mental Illness, Western Australia, The University of Western Australia, 2001. Many of these physical illnesses are preventable. System-wide reform. We aim to build on existing programs and strategies that improve the physical, including oral health, of individuals with mental health, alcohol and other drug problems. This would include monitoring the implementation of the physical health strategies currently being progressed by the Office of the Chief Psychiatrist and Office of Mental Health, including operational directives. Collaborating with existing health promotion agencies to promote good health and well-being across the service system. Engaging the primary healthcare sector and ensuring clinicians working in mental health, alcohol and other drug services, for example psychiatrists, are supported to assess and monitor the physical health of consumers. Increasing access to hepatitis C treatment for those with hepatitis C. Much work already occurs in the area of tobacco control, managed by the Chronic Disease Prevention Directorate of the Department of Health. This work is guided by the Western Australian Health Promotion Strategic Framework 2012 to 2016. System Navigation. The mental health, alcohol and other drug system is a complex arrangement of public sector, not-for-profit and private sector services and supports. Whilst there are some initiatives currently in place that assist with navigating the complex system, continued difficulty in accessing information and navigating the system exists. The following initiatives can aid individuals in navigating the system. Helplines. Evidence-based telephone helplines assist people to navigate the system, as well as provide assistance in the following areas. The provision of specific information and advice targeted to members of the public, individuals seeking advice, reassurance and guidance on behalf of others, and people self-identifying their particular issues. The provision of screening, assessment, triage and brief intervention. Offering referral to specialist treatment services and the provision of information and advice to health professionals. Provision of direct clinical services. There are a range of telephone-based helplines in Western Australia, including Mental Health Emergency Response Line, MHERL, Rural Link, Alcohol and Other Drug Information Service, ADIS, Health Direct, SANE, Men's Helpline Australia, Lifeline, and others. The establishment of a single point of access is essential to reduce confusion. The establishment of a one-stop shop that will provide a single point of access is discussed further on page 47. System-wide reform. Online services. Many people prefer to access information and assistance through online support. Information about accessing treatment is available through service directories, and some websites provide access to online counselling. The Green Book is a collaborative project between the Western Australian Network of Alcohol and Other Drug Agencies, WANADA, and the Western Australian Association of Mental Health, WAAMH. It contains a listing of organisations providing mental health, alcohol and other drug services to the Western Australian community. It is available in print, online, and there's a smartphone application which can be downloaded. The Green Book is widely distributed and is provided extensively to GPs. Following the amalgamation of the Mental Health Commission and the former Drug and Alcohol Office, online services will be reviewed to ensure they're streamlined, comprehensive, and easy to use. Whilst telephone and online services are important, they're of limited value unless widely publicised and effective in meeting the needs of people who access them. Both community information campaigns, as well as targeted training and advice to groups such as GPs and other health practitioners, is needed to improve knowledge about where to seek assistance. The one-stop shop, see page 47, will play an integral role in ensuring online services are streamlined and easy to use. Peer support workers. Peer support workers are able to assist with advocacy and provide social, emotional and practical support, such as helping someone get to appointments or helping them to identify the supports and services they need. Often, peer workers share lived experiences with the participants and have been shown to reduce hospital readmission and increase discharge rates. Chinman MG, Weingarten R, Stainer D, Davidson L, Chronicity Reconsidered, Improving Person Environment Fit Through a Consumer-Run Service, Community Mental Health Journal, 2001, 37, 3, 2015, 229. Lorne S, Smith A, Hunter K, Mental Health Peer Support for Hospital Avoidance and Early Discharge, An Australian Example of Consumer-Driven and Operated Service, Journal of Mental Health 2008, 17, 5, 498 to 508. The optimal mix shows a requirement for the peer support workforce to be substantially increased and embedded in not only the clinical areas, but also in community support programs. These workers are an important component in helping people to navigate the system and to access the range of services they need to achieve the outcomes they're seeking in their personal recovery journey. System-wide reform. Community coordination. The emerging role of coordination empowers individuals to navigate the system and access services and supports that will meet their holistic needs, such as housing, connection to their community, employment, and other important needs. The Mental Health Commission proposes to pilot a community coordinator program that will complement, not duplicate, existing coordination programs. For example, Partners in Recovery. Key functions would include individual coordination, facilitating access to culturally secure, inclusive, and regionally appropriate supports and services, and empowering individuals and their families to achieve a better quality of life through full community participation and the development of reciprocal relationships. Planning, working with individuals and their families to identify whole-of-life goals and identify the steps and actions required to achieve them. Advocacy, supporting individuals to have their voice heard and their point of view duly considered, or standing alongside and advocating where required. Information, ensuring that members of the community have timely access to the information they need. Community building, working to build an inclusive and supportive community that values the contribution of people with mental health, alcohol, and other drug problems. Individualized funding, facilitating access to flexible funding that individuals can use to purchase goods, supports, and services. Building partnerships, working across services and within community, government, private, and community-funded sector to enhance outcomes for individuals. Future systemic planning, contributing to the Mental Health Commission's future planning and purchasing by informing and advising on local needs from the perspective of individuals, carers, families, and local communities. Actions. Implement existing commitments. Implement the provisions of the Mental Health Act 2014 and monitor the extent of improved integration of care. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to require commissioned services to develop coordination and communication strategies to ensure relevant services are integrated and people are supported to transition effectively between services, programs, and regions. Relevant services can include private sector, government, non-government, and primary care services across a range of sectors, including mental health, alcohol and drug, disability housing, and so on. This may include the establishment of integration, coordination, and transition initiatives and policies, such as the reciprocal transfer of staff between services, the establishment of protocols for informing consumers, carers, families, and GPs throughout treatment and upon discharge, as to treatment plans and how to re-access services if required, the development of communication and information flow protocols for accessing patient records and treatment plans, other communication and reporting between non-government organisations, public sector and private sector, and across community, primary, secondary and tertiary services. Where relevant, standardise, establish and monitor key performance indicators for follow-up and other communication during treatment and post-discharge. Continue to build upon programs to address the physical health gap, including partnering with existing healthy lifestyle and injury prevention health promotion programs. Together with key stakeholders, develop comprehensive models of service for all major service streams, including mechanisms for monitoring and reviewing, and commence commissioning of services based on agreed models of service. Develop and commence a pilot community coordination program to assist people to navigate the mental health, alcohol and other drug service system, complementing current programs such as Partners in Recovery. Progress the expansion of the peer workforce across the service spectrum. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to continue to monitor service integration and navigation initiatives and models of service implementation, progressing improvements as necessary. Finalise an evaluation of the pilot community coordination program and, depending on the evaluation outcomes, expand its reach to areas of greatest need. System-wide reform, organisational effectiveness and efficiency. Organisational effectiveness and efficiency can be improved through a range of strategies to standardise and improve the safety and quality of the system. Commissioning services would require providers to demonstrate safety and quality assurance mechanisms, including safeguarding practices for vulnerable people, appropriate benchmarks of quality and responsiveness, evidence-based models of service that are effective, efficient, and are capable of delivering quality care in a financially constrained environment, acceptable outcomes in terms of length of stay, treatment episodes completed as planned, readmission rates, and continuing care following discharge. The use of standardized documentation, both non-electronic and electronic, across the system to improve efficiency and access to key information. Both the Department of Health and the Mental Health Commission are implementing a range of strategies to support system development and growth. The Mental Health Commission would largely do this through its policy setting and commissioning role, as well as through sponsoring sector development and information and/or knowledge sharing initiatives.